WNYC, AM 820 and 93.9 FM. Good morning. They stole Oprah. They stole Spielberg. They stole Martha. They stole Tiger. They can steal you. The FBI now ranks identity theft as one of the 10 biggest business crimes in America. Take the case of the Brooklyn busboy, a high school dropout who used a public library computer terminal to obtain credit information on Oprah Winfrey and others, then finagled his way to getting credit cards in their names, which he shopped with for 6 months before he was busted. Could happen to you. With us now to talk about why identity thieves get away with it and what we can do to stop them is Paul Paradise, journalist, author of the book Trademark Counterfeiting, Product Piracy, and the Billion-Dollar Threat to the U.S. Economy. He wrote about identity theft in Razor magazine. Paul, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.
How easy is it to pull off an identity theft?
Very, very easy, and becoming more frequent. I think upwards of 500,000 to 750,000 Americans are estimated to be victims each year. That comes out to almost 2,000 people a day. I would say it's reaching almost epidemic proportions in this country. I think it has become a particular concern after the 9/11 attack on New York City. Their names, at least, were identical to Saudi citizens. Two were, I think, sons of a Saudi diplomat. Two were Saudi pilots. Since that time, it has emerged that I think upwards of 13 of the 19 had obtained Florida state driver's licenses using, well, to obtain a Florida state driver's license, if you're an alien, you need a green card and you need one of two State Department documents. They were able to produce these. Additionally, the INS has no record of six of the terrorists. I mean, how they got in this country, what they were doing here, et cetera, has never been determined. And just one last thing. In Virginia, as you know, I think several people were arrested for aiding and abetting some of the terrorists to obtain driver's licenses. So this has led to a call for a national identification card.
So if you can scam your way to any one major piece of identification, a credit card, a driver's license.
Absolutely. Social security card numbers, another big one.
Then you can use that as a wedge to get all kinds of other identity confirmers and credit lines and things like that.
Absolutely. Now, that's what that Brooklyn busboy, his name is Abraham Abdullah, was a master. What they call it is called pretexting. I obtained some personal information about you, and then I use that bit of information to obtain additional information about you. There are many services, even on the internet, where you can look up someone's name or birth date or get their social security number. There is a vast network out there that is engaged in selling personal information about you, LexisNexis. Some of them on the net are like DocuSearch. In addition, part of the problem, too, is that many states freely sell this information.
Why would a national identity card do anything to stop the problem? There would just then be yet another identification source that people could steal or counterfeit or whatever that could get them into the system.
Well, that's a good objection. Other objections are privacy concerns. I think that's one of the reasons why this country does not have a national identification card. Many countries in Europe, in fact, do have them. I think
sure, but the privacy debate is one that we've had here before and one
absolutely
that I'm sure we'll have. But in terms of the effectiveness of a national identity card at reducing identity theft, why would it be effective?
Well, I'm not sure I can answer that question specifically. It may not have any effect at all. I think that's one of the big problems why we haven't identified one. But I think there's obviously a need for a secure identification. That's the other side of the coin. You know, when you have 500,000 people being victimized a year, like we have, what has become the national identification card is your social security number, and it was never meant to be that. It originally was used to track your earnings in the social security system, then it began requiring it on tax forms, and now banks, financial institutions, etc., healthcare providers require that as a means of identifying you. So there is a need for it in the system.
I want to open up the phones. We're talking about identity theft, a growing problem in America in this technology era, and we can take phone calls. Anybody who's ever been a victim of identity theft, want to call in at 212-267-WNYC. Tell us how it affected you. Tell us how hard it was to get your identity back. I know it takes a lot of hours and sometimes a lot of money once you become a victim. 212-267-WNYC, 267-9692. Any reformed identity thieves out there want to call in and talk about how you did it, 212-267-9692. Let's stay on that Brooklyn busboy case.
All right.
For a minute, Paul. And my guest is Paul Paradise, who wrote about this in Razor magazine. This guy went to some of the credit rating companies on the web, like TRW and Equifax, and entered names of rich celebrities, Martha Stewart, Oprah Winfrey, others, and then used their credit card account numbers to start buying things. Well, I went to Equivest's website this morning, and I tried to obtain credit information for you, Paul Paradise. And
okay,
they wouldn't send it to me without a street address and an email address for you,
right,
which, of course, I didn't have.
Okay.
How much does that protect us?
Well, first of all, the reason why a lot of famous, and they're not the only celebrities that have been victimized. There was a very famous, Tiger Woods was victimized. The reason why they go after famous people, first of all, a lot of information is publicly available about them. And the second thing is that they're not as likely to miss money that's being pilfered from them. I mean, if you've got hundreds of millions of dollars, I mean, your portfolio, the value of your portfolio probably varies every single day, and you may have private financial firms that are investing your money daily. So that's one of the reasons why Abdul was able to get away with his what he was doing. And he was very, very good at it. What he was able to do was, obviously, he did have the correct information to apply for a credit report for, say, Paul Allen or Oprah Winfrey, and was able to give them all the information. And he was able to dupe them, perhaps, by saying he was either an employment agency or some authoritative source that might have an interest in them. He might even said he was a financial institution that needed this information. Credit reports are used by quite a few different companies, like if you apply for a mortgage or if you want to purchase a car. Even if you want to rent an apartment these days, they want to do a credit report on you. I mean, it's so common that if you have a legitimate pretext, you can get it.
I heard he stole Kenneth Lay's identity, but then his credit was rejected. But that's another story. Mark in Park Slope, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
A number of years ago, I was a victim of identity theft. Someone purchased a car, bought some stereo equipment, established an address in Atlanta, established another one in Indiana. The only thing that my question is, and what really bothered me was that when I went to apply for a mortgage some years later, all this stuff was still on my credit report. I'd actually pay someone to get it all cleared off. There was an ID of someone who was posing as me, who was who was black and had an accent. And there was, I was asked to report this to the Secret Service because of some Nigerian organized crime ring that is heavily involved in this. Do you know anything about that?
You mean about the Nigerian crime ring?
Yeah.
I have read a little bit about where they have tried to bilk money out of U.S. citizens under one ruse or another. But outside of that, I'm not familiar with them. But I would like to talk a little bit about the identity theft problem that you've got, which is your case is very typical of people who are hit.
Yeah.
Now, most of the burden falls on you to clear up your credit. And it, as you can see, it's no picnic because you don't know who this person is. You don't know where they're operating. You may, as in your case, you may not even discover this has happened for quite some time until you go either apply for a job or if you apply for a loan.
I discovered it because one of the creditors in Atlanta called me and about an outstanding, I think it was a credit card bill.
Okay.
Which, of course, was not a card that I had opened. And they suspected it was identity theft because the number they got for me was in Brooklyn, and they knew that it had been opened in Atlanta. So that was when I first got wind of it, and then I, got credit reports. And
can I ask you, Mark, how much time and how much money you think you've spent digging yourself out of this?
Well, I when I went to get my mortgage, the broker that I used saw all this stuff, and he says, I can't give you a mortgage. You've got to clear this. And he had a recommendation of a company that that does this. They pulled my credit report. It seems like everyone can pull my credit report. They pulled my credit report, looked at all the hits on it, and they said, we'll do it. I think it was $50 per creditor with a cap of $1,000. So I ended up, there were far more than 20.
Paul Paradise, is that, does that sound about typical?
I don't know the service that you subscribe to. I do know some of the things that you certainly want to do. Now, you say this happened to you a number of years ago, so the laws have changed certainly in your favor. One is the Identity Theft Assumption and Deterrence Act of 1998, which was signed into law by President Clinton, and it has puts the Federal Trade Commission more in terms of, that's the organization you want that will be, assist you at the federal level. And they do, in fact, have a number, I think I actually have it here with me, or I'll look for it. Oh, here it is. It's 877 ID Theft. The Social Security Administration also has a fraud hotline, and that's 800-269-0271. Believe it or not, credit card debt, when your credit card is hit, that's usually one of the easier ones to take care of, because under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, the first thing you want to do right away is notify that credit card issuer or credit card company of the problem. And they have, they're supposed to acknowledge your letter in writing within 30 days. And then the burden is on them to resolve this. And I think the maximum amount that you can be held liable for is about $50. So that's a great assistance. And that is a way of finding some allies, because obviously these credit card companies want to help you.
But is he being scammed again by the service that's charging him $50?
He may be. I don't know enough about the service to really give you an idea.
All right.
One thing you can do is contact the credit agencies and have them put a credit fraud alert on your identity. And anytime something suspicious comes in, they will notify you right away.
Mark, thank you for your call. Good luck. We're talking about identity theft with Paul Paradise, who wrote about it in Razor magazine, a growing problem now, one of the top 10 business crime problems officially according to the FBI. It has overtones for terrorism, as we know from September 11th, as well as theft of your credit line and things like that, and all the aggravation that it can cause people like Mark. Are there policy recommendations that you have? Is there more that you think that the government should do beyond the act that was passed a couple of years ago?
Well, I am in favor of having a national identification card, and there's a big movement toward that. One of the sciences that is now being used a lot is what they call biometrics, which is using different facial features or physical features of a person for use in personal identification. Perhaps the oldest use of biometrics is fingerprints. In fact, they are now using digital-type fingerprints, what they call a finger scan. It's basically you scan either your thumb or your finger through a slide, and they have digitally stored information about your fingerprints. Other things that are being used are the retinas, the eyes. There's a retina scan, and there's an iris scan, which are being used. Others involve face scanning. In fact, right after the terrorist attack, Larry Ellis, the CEO of Oracle, brought up a proposition for a national identification card, and he offered the software to make this.
But like this busboy who went online to get the credit reports for Oprah Winfrey and then was able to get a credit card number, what's retina scanning or any of that going to do to stop that kind of identity theft?
Hopefully it will cut down on it.
Yeah.
We have a problem. Our country is different in a certain regard. Because
for the average person,
yeah,
like Mark who called up, we're not going to go to the store and they're going to scan our retinas every time
they give us a credit card. You may be surprised. Like after the terrorist attack, one organization called the AAMVA, the American Association of Motor Vehicle Administrators, made a proposal for a national driver's license. The idea was rejected, but I think currently 36 states are redesigning their driver's license,
uh-huh,
and they'll have barcodes on them.
And
the barcodes, you actually will be scanned, you can put them through like a scanner or a slide, and it'll have personal information about you.
Interesting. Avir on a payphone. Did I say your name right? Or ever?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, you're on the air. What's your name?
My name is Ivar Sampson.
How do you do?
How are you doing? I'm a homeless. I was just listening to your program. I'm a homeless gentleman who picks up cans and bottles in Manhattan. And this was an interesting subject I was listening to because there's a famous nightclub here in the neighborhood in Manhattan who Xeroxes everybody's driver's licenses and ID cards when they go in the club, and they throw them in the trash at the end of the night.
Guess what? That is a common... In fact, people who it's such a common tactic. It's called dumpster diving. People actually go through other people's garbage to get information. I would, if I was a patron at that club, I would complain.
I mean, I would never let nobody Xerox my identification.
There you go.
You know, but I mean, I see this on a weekly basis, this big famous nightclub here in Manhattan.
Can I ask you how well you can do in a given day with the bottles and cans?
I do between 50 and 100.
Really? What? So you must be unhappy about the proposal to change the deposit law.
I'm not so much against it. I'm against the way the program is being run by the city. If they would cut out the bureaucracy, recycling could be a very profitable business for the city.
All right. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Well, that's one way that somebody can get our identities or
it's
our
very common
credit numbers. What about when we give credit card numbers over the phone or over the web? What's to stop the operator who I give my credit card number to at, you know, Carnegie Hall or whatever?
That's a very, very good
running an identity theft scam on the side.
Okay, that's a very good point. Some identity theft occurs, believe it or not, like in human resources, where a scrupulous employee filters through employee records and comes up with the information. I'll tell you, I applied for a pre-approved credit card recently, and it had a low APR. And shortly after I applied for that credit card, someone called me up on the phone and asked if I wanted to transfer some of my credit card balances. Mm-hmm. I said no. Now, I did want to do that, but I myself called in later on. I didn't know who this person was.
Right.
I rarely give out.
So that's another kind of
scam
that goes up.
Yeah,
it
could be.
People call up and.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people get in. One way of getting information about a particular individual is sometimes they do call up and pretend either to do a survey or another thing. Like, let's say I get some personal information about someone. I know that they're from, they go to such and such a doctor. Let's say they've thrown out some billing records.
Hang on. We just have 15 seconds left. Do you recommend that people not give their credit card numbers out?
Absolutely. Or only to people that they know or to secure sources. I'd say that's a big source of a problem. Or even letting people look over your shoulder. There are people who are professional crooks who get your number just by looking over your shoulder.
Last word, but only for now, on identity theft. Paul Paradise wrote the article Identity Theft in Razor Magazine. Paul, thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Very informative.
Okay.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
Big budget Hollywood movies will always have an audience, but many of today's most interesting movies come from young, independent filmmakers. I'm Elvis Mitchell, host of The Treatment and New York Times film critic. Join me at the Harlem Film Festival, spotlighting emerging Latino and African American filmmakers. Following each screening, I'll speak with the filmmakers about their work. This weekend at Aaron Davis Hall. Information and tickets at 212-650-7100 or WNYC.org.
So very specifically, do you think there is a basis for common ground now on either a patient's bill of rights or a Medicare prescription drug plan?
Now that things have changed in South Africa, what does the future of South African theater look like?